likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
Revenge. Revenge is a dish best served a la mode, they say, in cookery terms. And, I love revenge. Revenge has to be one of my favorite things. I wish I was smart enough to get some every now and again. That would be nice. But that's not the case. So I have to live vicariously through others. Now, one of the grandest tales of revenge that I love personally is Wrath of Khan, obviously. One of the great literary works of all time. Khan's a fascinating man, living in fascinating times, flying around in fascinating spacecrafts. And my favorite part in Star Trek II, which, by the way, yet another example of a movie where the sequel is far superior than the original. I always have to bring this up because, as I've stated numerous times, I cannot stand when people just cling to the old standby line of like, oh, the sequel's never as good as the original. Well, a lot of times it is. A lot of times. There are several examples. I could sit here for hours naming dozens and dozens and trozens of examples, but who has the time? Who has the time for that? Not this guy. I'll tell you that right now. But in Wrath of Khan, my favorite part was when Khan, he's in his stolen ship and he's sailing through the star-ridden cosmos, and he's got a number two guy. And I love number two guys, man. I absolutely love it. It's like Batman. Remember Batman? You know, the first one, the good one, the Michael Keaton one, the only one that matters, where Joker had Bob. You know, Joker, Bob, like Joker's number one guy, his henchman, his go-to guy. He killed Bob later in the movie. I wasn't a fan of that. Even as a kid, I was like, no, Bob. That was upsetting to me. That was under the rules, Joker. I'm sorry. That wasn't funny. But yes, Bob ruled. Everybody needs a Bob. Everybody does. Like when he walks up and he's got that like determined look on his face and he looks like everybody's uncle and he's like, the photos. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, Bob. You give Bob a task, he is on it until you kill him. That is. But anyway, so Khan's Bob. Bob comes up to Khan and says, the photos. And Khan just shakes his head like, hmm? Or it was Ricardo Montalban, so he shook his head and went, gay, is what he went. But, so Bob comes up to Khan and says, Bob, let's have a chat. Or Khan, let's have a Bob. Or something to, I just woke up. I'm sorry. I literally opened my eyes. And here we are. He goes up to Khan and he's like, Khan, K-Dog, we have a ship. We have this cool space mumbo-jumbo device where we can make a new planet or destroy one. We literally have in our possession the option to create or destroy a world. We have a Death Star, but better, because a Death Star can't make stuff. If it wants, it can just kind of make a mess, I guess. But Khan has Genesis on his ship. So he got a ship. He got a full tank of gas. This is before Bidenflation. So that's good mileage. It's, you know, Reliant. It's a small ship. It's not a gas guzzler like the Enterprise. It's better for the environment all around. Everything's coming up Khan, right? And Khan's Bob comes up and says, listen, man, we have Genesis. We can go do what we want with it. We have a spaceship. We can go wherever the fuck we want. You won. You won. You've proved to Captain Kirk that you're superior. We don't have to go after him. All we're doing is bringing attention to ourselves. Let's just go to Maui. And Khan, his reaction, this is superior acting right here, because as Bob's talking, Khan's looking up at Bob, and he's like, first of all, nice windbreaker. The Joker jacket Bob had with like Joker's head on the back. Already a superior Joker. He's got merch. I want to work for a Batman villain who has merchandise. Sorry. Maybe as a henchman, I mean, I wouldn't be a Bob, obviously. I'd be like one of the Batman 1966 henchmen, the ones who just charge headfirst and get jacked up by Robin. You know, I'd be like the first one in, first one out. Just Robin would, like in the old Westerns, Robin would grab the back of my collar and the back of my pants and slam me onto a bar, Wild West style, and then just sweep the bar with me, with my useless body, and then just toss me off screen. I wouldn't even get a sound effect, or you know, the little, like Batman, you know, punches a guy in the liver or something, and then it says like thwank or something like that on the screen. I wouldn't even get that. It would just kind of cut to something more interesting as I was sliding across, glass shattering all over the place, a look of horror on my face, but yet determination, horror yet determination. And I'll be back, Boy Wonder, for vengeance. Revenge. My favorite thing. So, back to Bob. The only thing that matters. So Khan's Bob goes up to him and says, let's, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we chasing this curly-haired rapscallion throughout the galaxy when you have everything you could possibly want? And Khan's reaction, just the acting, because he's listening to him and he's shaking his head. He's like, yes, yes. Oh, wait. No. You don't get it here. It doesn't matter. See, Khan and the people who wrote this movie, in that moment alone, that little, very, very small second shows how masterful that storytelling is, because the guy's right in every single way. They can just sail off and do whatever. They're all brilliant. They're these genetically engineered supermen and women and other. I don't want to misgender it. Well, actually, Khan never really said his gender. It's iffy. It's dicey. And he has it all. He can make a whole new empire. Gather a legion of worshippers. But that's not what Khan's about. Khan gets a super weapon. He gets a spaceship, which is a super weapon in its own right. And the first motherfucking order of business is, I need a hairdresser at once, because my coif is legendary. So he goes, he gets some curlers put in, some volume, you know? And he's like, okay, second order of business, motherfucking revenge. And that's what makes a great character. That's what makes a great bad guy. You see, you understand. That's one of my 900 reasons why I hate The Dark Knight. Because Batman and the Joker are not just good guy, bad guy. Batman and the Joker are arch nemeses, like Dave and physical fitness. All right? It's not just, hey, he's a bad guy and he's a good guy, so they're going to have a fist fight on a rooftop somewhere and call it a day. Well, you know, the bad guy's going to go to jail, whatever. No. This is a grudge match. This encapsulates both people, because you can't tell one person's story without another. And another great part in the movie, which again, superior storytelling, Batman's fighting Joker, you know, the Jack Nicholson one, the only one that matters. And they're fighting on a rooftop, and Batman finally gets his hands on Joker and starts beating the fuck out of him, because duh, it's a clown. You ain't going to fight nobody, you know? If it was me on there, I'd have a 50-50 shot at winning this particular physical confrontation. So he's getting destroyed, and then he's like, why are you mad at me? You made me. And then Batman points at Joker in one of the greatest moments in cinema, and he says, you made me first. I got chills up and down my balls right now just thinking about that part. Because it takes the typical, you're a bad guy, I'm a good guy, we got to do that, we got to fight, because that's stories. And, oh, Jesus Christ. Alexa, stop. See what I do for you people? I have alarms. Because I know that you need to be entertained. And I try and I fail every week, but I give it the old college, is what I do. All right? Excuse me. Before we were so crudely interrupted. That's what makes a great relationship. Because that, at the end of the day, is what the whole good guy, bad guy thing is. It's a relationship. And you can't just throw the parts there, say you get it, good guy, bad guy fight. Well, I mean, you can, and you get most movies and most protagonist-antagonist relationships, but films like this, films like Wrath of Khan, show you that you can do more. It can be more than that. It can be, dare I say, beautiful. And the Batman or the Dark Knight was just like, you're a bad guy, I'm a good guy, let's fight. And then I'll leave you hanging, literally, and we get no resolution. Because if there's one thing I like after sitting through a 3-hour long movie, it's just not getting resolution. That's cool, right? Isn't that neat? When you're just kind of like, oh, well, gee, I wonder what happened to that guy after 3 hours. You like that? Apparently. And don't sit there and tell me, what are you talking about, Dave? He killed Batman's girl. Like, they threw that in there. For some fake spice is what they did. They threw that little tidbit. And it doesn't even matter. I forgot. What happened? He threw the girl off a roof or something. It wasn't even impactful because it was a different actress than who played her in the first movie. So it's like, he killed some strange lady. Okay, whatever. I don't care. I've never seen her in my life until 5 minutes ago. And I'm supposed to care now? Like, it was so cheap. It was such a cheap tactic in this 4-hour opus of bullshit. God, wait. All right, while we're on the top, does anybody remember Joker shirts? Speaking of merch, speaking of villains with merch, I remember growing up when the Batman movie came out, and somebody in this conversation saw the original Batman from 89, I think. I think it was 89 or 88. I forget. Probably 89. Somebody in this conversation saw it in the movie theater. Yep, that's right. I was there. Saw it. Been there. Done that. Seen that. Cheered Bob. Right? Was sad when he died. That's an emotional roller coaster right there. I completely forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. Joker shirts. Right. This movie, to say this movie was big, a little bit of an understatement, I feel. I remember very distinctly the Joker shirts they used to have. Like, they would have, like, the one that's in my mind right now is the one where his eyes are all big. I mean, I guess they're always big. And he's, like, he's got his hand, he's, like, covering his hands with his head and all his curly locks, his silken green locks are in between his long spindly fingers. And he's laughing, and then on the shirt, it just says, ha, 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 like, all over it. Like, to a ridiculous degree. It's just plastered all over it. And, man, they had some great... This was, like... This wasn't a, I'm a comic dork, look at my Joker shirt. This was, like, fashionable in the early 90s. And when this movie came out, I would see them everywhere. I would see people with Joker shirts all over the place, and it wasn't a particular style or a particular, like, you know, I'll say subclass, because we are subhumans, the comic book people. Well, we used to be. I'm talking about original ODs, original dorks. Not this now. Oh God, I love Marvel. I love Iron Man. I'm such a dork. Blah, 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 says some gorgeous fucking, you know, 18-year-old with giant titties. Yeah, right. Sure. Right. Oh, you mean you like that thing that everybody likes? Oh, you rebel. God, you're such a counterculture, you know, titties you got there, is what I say. That's what I say. It's not the same. You don't get, no. I'm sorry. This isn't a comfortable existence. To be into this shit, or at least it wasn't. It wasn't when it matters, when it mattered. But anywho, Khan. Back to Khan. Revenge. It's one thing to have a film where a character wants revenge on someone who's wronged him. That in itself is a pretty good motivation. But as that one scene so clearly illustrates, that's not enough. That makes a good character, sure, or it can. But Khan's not a good character. He's a great character. Because even with his spaceship, even with his super weapon, that's not enough. He wants the piece, still has the stone, if you will. Which, if you're studied up on your Greek, means cool thing. He wants revenge. And I talk about revenge for a particular reason. Because the Colts just lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars again. Again, and if you don't know about the Jacksonville Jaguars, they asked me to play for them, and I had to turn them down. Not only did the Colts lose to the Jaguars again, they got shut out. They scored 0 points. I woke up scoring just as many points against the Jacksonville Jaguars as a professional, in quotes, football team. Now, I have no idea what happened because I don't watch football. But if you've listened to anything I've said during my monologue here, you should know I don't care about football. I don't like football. I like stories. Tell me a story. I don't want to sit and watch a game. Just tell me the broad strokes. And this story is a horror story, of course, about a bunch of young horsies who get mauled and annihilated by mean predatory cats. It's not a pretty story. And heavens knows how it ends if this is how it starts. Now, you know me. I'm all about the gridiron here, okay? And I'm really going to have to change the day of the show only because Sunday's a bad day to do a show. because everybody tunes in for the sports talk, obviously. There's two definitive pieces of media that talk about football. And that is, of course, Joe Montana's Sports Talk Football for Sega Genesis, where I learned the majority of my knowledge, my deep, expansive, extensive knowledge. And, of course, this podcast, this program right here. In a manner of speaking, you could say I'm Joe Montana's backup quarterback. You could say that in a podcastian sense. You wouldn't be wrong by saying that. But so a little history lesson here, because again, I've never seen any of these games, but I like stories. So last year there was two games remaining in the season, and the Colts, contrary to popular belief, I thought the Colts did okay. They did all right last year. It didn't end well, but, you know, I'm of the mind you give a team a chance to click and get their chemistry going, right? New quarterback in there. It's a new thing. People are getting used to each other. You can't expect a total turnaround. It's a big deal. It's a traumatic event. Got to give these boys time to get their shit together, right? So we had to win one game. The Colts had to win one game. One game. Come on. Please, let us win one game. They had to beat the Raiders. That didn't happen because the Raiders were good. The Raiders woke up that day. So they won. And then I was like, okay, well, that's fine. We're playing the Jaguars. We could beat the Jaguars. Anyone could beat the Jaguars. Dave turned them down. And I remember I said this at the time. Keep in mind, I know nothing about football. I follow my heart. I came on this show. You can go back. You can listen to it. It's there for posterity. I sat here in front of this microphone using these golden tones, this sensual voice, to say, I would not be surprised at all if Jacksonville won, because I know the power of fucking up somebody's day. The Jaguars, there was no way on earth they were going to go to the playoffs. And it was the last game of the season. Okay? And I know people. And I know me. And I can be very, very motivated to perform well if it means I will ruin somebody's day. And the Jaguars are like, you know what, man? We suck. We won like two games, I think, maybe three, all season. We got trounced on. We got romped on. We're laughingstocks. And if the Colts beat us, they're going to go to the playoffs. Wonder what that's like. You know what? Let's fuck up their day. And I guarantee you, every single Jacksonville Jaguars team went on that field, they would have played through gunshot wounds. Because nothing was going to stop them. From taking down someone else with them. Sure enough, the Colts lost. The Colts did not go to the playoffs. And then fast forward, second game of the season, because we tied against the Texans. The Houston Texans presented such a mammoth challenge that we had to struggle and come back from a 97-3 deficit. And in a miraculous come-from-behind draw, we tied. And then the kicker missed a fairly makeable field goal. And then they fired him immediately. And they said, well, on to bigger and better things. Oops, we got shut out. Revenge. This was one of those monologues I was going to do either way. Because if the Colts won, I could come on here and say, hey, revenge, our cults, the cults got, they got vengeance on our most hated enemy, our Khan, right? Kirk and Khan, the Colts and the Jaguars. But it would be like if Khan, if it would be like if Kirk was fighting Corky from Life Goes On. Anybody remember that show? The Jaguars aren't exactly Khan, but in this case, I guess they are. I guess they have to be. So if the Colts won, I would come on here and I said revenge, we got revenge. And then if the Colts lost, like they did, not only did they lose, they got shot. I mean, I woke up to this. This is how I woke up. I tossed, I turned, I had nightmares. I woke up in a cold sweat. It was like last year. It was the same exact thing. I tossed, I turned, I had nightmares. I woke up. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I had a dream that the Colts lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then I looked at the score. It was like in, you know, a Freddy Krueger movie where the kid's dreaming and they wake up, but they're still dreaming. One of those type deals. And then my hair fell out. And my pee-pee got real small, and here we are. And this is life. This is just how it is. Sorry. Sorry about that. How about this? How about instead of talking about 20 something to nothing, we just talk about Star Trek? Is that all right with you? Is that good? Are you done? Are you done with football talk now? Are you happy? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Did your team do all right? Did your team, oh, I don't know, score some points on this day? Well, that must feel good. That must feel nice. What? You even scored a touchdown? Woohoo! Happy town. 6 whole points? Get out of here. Get right at it. What? And you made the extra. Jesus, you made a kick? What does that look like? So here I am. I'm wearing my Joker shirt with the ha 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 written all over it. I got a puffy black Indianapolis Colts starter jacket on with the little blue and white beads. I'm rocking back and forth and rubbing my hands in front of a garbage can that's on fire. I don't even have a bob. But we'll be back. We'll be back, Jacksonville Jaguars. You better pray that the Colts do at least okay. Because if you do really good, and then you have to face us in the last game, and we're miserable and angry and tired, we will win to ruin your day. And then we'll both go home together. You'll go back to the sunny, balmy paradise of Florida, and we'll go back to miserable Indianapolis. Who's laughing now, Jags? Huh? Who, I ask you. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 150. All up in this piece. Doing that thing that we do. How am you? Boo. That's cool. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. I'm sorry I woke up. Got some bad news. But you know, all right, look, on the plus side, it is better this way. You know, it would kind of be disappointing to see the score to the Colts Jaguars and see like, oh, we lost by like 4 points, or, you know, we lost by a touchdown or something. But it's so much better. It's so much more like, for the sake of entertainment, you know, for the sake of hearing people freak the fuck out. Like, it's one thing to lose a game, but to be completely shut out. And I've, like, through this past week, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually take an interest in the football season. Because I actually listen to some Colts podcasts and stuff, people talking about football. I don't like football. I can't watch sports, but I like hearing people talk about stuff. So, I listen to some, and it's just funny when people get really, really into it and really, really animated. So this is going to be very entertaining. I'm really looking forward to hearing people have nervous breakdowns about this, because this is pretty nervous breakdownable, and that's all right. At least we get that out of it. At least we get entertainment, and it wouldn't be as good if it was like a semi-close game, but if it's just a fucking all-together blowout, that's good. I can laugh at that. You know, it hurts. Like, my spleen hurts a little bit when I laugh about that, but yeah. It's better than crying, actually, which is to, you know, which is, I don't want to get too behind the curtain here, but that's the tagline for this show. Atomic Disaster Theater. It's better than crying, question mark, in parentheses, is our new merch line. It's like our no fear line, except far more fearsome than that. Speaking of far more fearsome, sitting directly to my left, looking jingoistically jaguar-like, looking every single bit like the kitty that got the cream, he is the man of the hour, the tower of power, he'll devour toddlers. He's the one, the only, the immortal. Count Dracula. What it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours, my friend. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. First, let me offer my condolences for your football team getting romped on and embarrassed the way that they did.
Thank you. I know that if I threw a party and invited every single monster of the silver screen that I knew, I'd see, the biggest gift would be from thee, and the card attached would most certainly say what you just said. So I appreciate that, Count. I appreciate your sensitivity in these trying times. I appreciate your helping hands. And I appreciate your loving heart. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure. You got it, buddy. Dave, you look like you're going to cry. Should I ask you a question to take your mind off things?
I'm going to have to insist that you do that. Please.
It's time for Ask Dave, where I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave, any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
Unlike a particular football team, in the city that this podcast is being recorded in, Count, I'm ready.
Dave! I see that they're coming out of it. Street Fighter 6. Are you excited for it?
Okay. Sure.
I mean, I'll get it. It's Street Fighter. Street Fighter rules.
I think,
Street Fighter V came out 9 years ago or something? I don't know. And still impressive, I think. I look back, Street Fighter V graphically, very nice looking game, very impressive game. I like Street Fighter. Yeah, I mean, I'll certainly get it. I'm not going to be good at it or anything. Well, to be fair to myself and my sensei, I don't like the brag count, but you know, if your boy Dave is playing Street Fighter and picks Cammy, you might just have a problem. I'm terrible at video games of all stripes and all sorts. But I think in Street Fighter with Cammy, I don't know. We gel well, Count, as well as in a penis sense also. Gel very well. There's a lot of gel going on. A lot of gel-like substances occur when I think of that particular Street Fighter. Yeah, Street Fighter's cool. I mean, I prefer Mortal Kombat. Because of the story. I like Mortal Kombat, zany, you know, crazy story and stuff like that. It makes me smile. It makes me happy. I'm always interested to know what happens in a new Mortal Kombat game. Street Fighter, there's... Do you have any burning questions about Street Fighter? Not really. It's just like, they're fighting in the streets. Well, why? Because it's a tournament and they're from different places in the world. So, of course, the first thing they do is they get together and they fight each other. It's like, hey, you don't look like me. I'm going to punch you right in your mouth. That's pretty much all there is to it. You speak funny. Let's fight. And that's it. That's the story of Street Fighter. So, yeah, it's always been pretty barren of
meaning. I don't know, man.
I got nothing. I'm sad. I just woke up. I'm bleary-eyed. You know, I'm cranky. I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to do this. But I'm here. And I appreciate you trying to keep my mind off things. I really, really do. But Street Fighter's cool. I'm going to get it. Of course I'm going to get it. I lose interest once they start. They do the thing they do where they like introduce all these new characters, right? They'll come out with a game and they'll have like the roster of fighters, and then they'll, as like DLC or whatever, through the course of 6 or 7 fucking years, they'll just release a new character here, a new character there for $3, $4 or whatever. And by the time, before you know it, you've paid $137 to play Street Fighter. You know, congratulations, I guess. I think when we get into part 6, I realize Mortal Kombat's on like what, part 11 or some nonsense. Well, you get to a certain point. Stop naming them or numbering them. You know, like just say like Street Fighter, Blood Disc. You know what I mean? Ixnay with the numbers. Because when you get to 5s and 6s and stuff like that, it's a little much. Like, then isn't Tekken 8 coming out soon or so? 8? Really, guys? Tekken 8? Don't just Nate call it something else. Because, I mean, especially with the fighting game, I'm supposed to believe these people have fought 6 King of Fighters tournaments in Street Fighter? You know, wouldn't you be retired by then? Wouldn't you have brain damage by then? I just want one person in Street Fighter to get brain damage. You know, where Ryu gets CTE and he has to sit this one out. Maybe, you know, maybe Guile kills his family or something. Or not. I don't know. It just seems like, because again, I like stories. And if you're going to keep bringing the same people back over and over again, are you just going to fight each other in an alleyway somewhere in Bangkok? I'm going to start to need to, I'm going to need to know a reason why. I'm going to need to, somebody give me a reason why Blanca and Dalzim are fighting in Paraguay somewhere since I was 8 years old. Can somebody tell me, please? Actually, hold on. We'll get to the bottom of this. I'll sort this out. When did Street Fighter 2 come out? 91. I thought it was a couple years before that, actually. Okay. Yeah, man. You know, and say what you will about Mortal Kombat, at least, like, they have their story mode or whatnot. At least they're trying. They're trying to keep a story. Yeah, it's convoluted and dumb. Gotcha. But at least they're trying. Street Fighter, I think, it just doesn't try. You know? I mean, but to be fair, it never really, like, sold itself as anything other than a bunch of a diverse cast of characters fist fighting each other in the street. So take that for what you will. See, Count, I'm a very deep, introspective man, and I guess I just demand a little bit more from my fighting games rather than mindless violence. But I am going to get it because I like to see how we've advanced as a peoples when it comes to titty bounce technology. You know, I mean, I remember as a child playing Street Fighter Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, where they introduced, what was it called? The New Challengers or something? Where it only took them 9 different iterations of Street Fighter 2 before they introduced some new characters. So they introduced 4 new characters, Cammy being one of them. And she's adorable. And she'd like kind of bop up and down, and her titties would actually bounce. I know that doesn't sound like a lot now in 2022, but believe me, kids, in 1991, well, no, it would be a little after that, 1992, 93, I don't know, when young Dave saw some Cammy titty bounce, it was on. All right, let's just say I knew that things had changed forever when video games were given titty bounce because, you know, Princess Peach and Zelda scant on the titty bounce. But we were ushering into a brand new age, and I was ready for it. I was there with a controller in one hand and something else in the other. So let's see. Let's see where we can go from here. From here, indeed. Yeah, you know, Street Fighter's cool. It's a fun game. But again, not really tremendously excited about it. I'm not really tremendously excited about life right now. Count is what's going on. So I want, geez, I gotta lift my spirits, man.
Dave?
Yeah, Count?
It hurts me to see you this upset and depressed.
Well, all right.
Would it make you feel any better if
what, Count?
Well, I guess I can take one for the team, literally. If it'll make you feel better, maybe you could crack check me.
What?
Nothing?
Did you just offer to let me crotch check you to make me feel better, Count?
No.
What are you, a little flimsy or something? You want me to give your hoo-ha a little bit of a honk honk? Is that what this is about?
No, I it was a joke. I mean I was just kidding. I would never try to cheer you up by having you openly sexually harass me.
Yeah, because, you know, like, it's only fun if you don't want it. It's kind of my tagline, I guess. All right. Wow. Weird. Awkward. Okay, count. Boy. Yikes. Way to bring the show to a screeching halt, my friend.
I was just doing it for you. I was trying to be a good friend.
Well, I think you were maybe doing it for you. But, right. Okay. All right, how about this, Count? How about we never, ever, ever talk about that, what just happened between us? Well, between you, really. Between you and your latent sexuality. Let's just move on. Let's just try to move on. You know, I don't know how much I talk about. I should talk about this more because this doesn't get nearly enough press, enough play, really. In the grand pantheon of 80s high school movies, because that was a great time, was it not? Has there ever been a decade more synonymous with the high school film? I'm talking, of course, about those classic, you know, coming of age stories where people were just sexually harassed like every 5 minutes. There's an arrestable offense going on. It was a simpler time. It was a brutal time. And it was a wonderful time for these type of movies. And when I say 80s high school movies, you know, you get them all, right? You get the Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, blah, blah, blah. All the John Hughes classics, right? But nobody talks about what I think is a criminally underrated, not only a criminally underrated high school kiddie movie, but it's also a John Hughes movie. I didn't even know this, but I watched it recently and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I forgot this was a John Hughes movie. I never hear anybody talk about this. This movie gets no press and it's a shame. It's a crying shame because it's so cute and it's such a good movie. I'm talking about Some Kind of Wonderful. You probably don't know what I mean, but that's a great movie. It's like an hour and a half. It's perfect. Eric Stoltz is in it. I'm a big Eric Stoltz supporter. I'm a big fan. You know, I think he'd make a great Luke Skywalker. And I like it. I like that movie. And strangely enough, not too keen on the firepower of the women involved in this show. You know, you think, oh, look, it's a bunch of teenagers running around, you know, groping each other. Dave's going to really like this. But no, I never been a Leah Thompson guy. That's her, right? Wasn't she the girl in Back to the Future? Wasn't she Marty's mom or something? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with these. There's not, like, she looks like she's got an attitude problem. She just looks like a problem. She just looks miserable to be around. I don't even young, you know, even like I remember when I was in high school, somebody said that I had the face of a 40-year-old man. And now that I'm 42 years old, they were right. I mean, I always looked upset. I always look like I've got a lot on my mind. At a very young age. And that's just Leah Thompson to me. You know, I see her and I'm like, she is not having fun. She is not having a good time of it. And I was never really a big into it. Really, really there. She kind of always looked like a single mom to me, even when she was 16. I don't know. I just always, you know, I like my girls a little, you know, I don't know, dirty or something. But, yeah. So some kind of wonderful rules. My boy, my best friend of all time, besides Count Dracula, Ilias Cotilius is in it. He's my favorite. It was Casey Jones in the Ninja Turtles movie. And this is a really cute movie. It's really cute. I recommend it for a good old fashioned 80s high school movie. It's fantastic. It rules. It's fun. It's an hour and a half in out story told. Goodbye. So nice to see in these trying times when even comedies are 2 hours and 45 minutes, it's just nice. And there's something very special. And I feel that this age is gone. These days are kaputsky, because I remember seeing some kind of wonderful, it was like on TV or something. And it's so great when you don't have control of what's on the television, because you're exposed to things you might not otherwise watch. I mean, honestly, and maybe you do this, I don't know, but do you go on Netflix and you're like, I'm just going to pick a random fucking thing that I would never watch and I'm just going to sit here and see if I like it? You don't do that. Nobody does that. When you have absolute total control, you're not gonna take a risk like that. But back in Dave's day, when I had Zilchberg control over what my entertainment was, I was just lucky to have a screen. You know, you turn on the TV, you flip through the channels, and you're like, oh, what's this movie? I don't know what this is. Let me see. Let me investigate this. Let me invest a little bit in here and see if this is something I wanna see through. And those times, God, that's so weird that they're gone. That made me who I am today, having to sit there and fucking endure all this stuff, sitting breathlessly, watching HBO movies at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, in the little preview thing where it was like, okay, rated R, off to a good start, you know, and the movie's called like Midnight Passions or something like that. So I'm like, I'm like rock hard, ready to go. And I don't have a lot of time. I have to be very, very quiet. And I have to sit through an awful HBO movie in the vain hopes that I'll see some boobies. Those days are gone. Kind of like going to a well for water. You sort of just don't do that anymore. And I don't think it's for the best. I don't think it's for the best. It taught me. Those times taught me how to viciously masturbate. You know? You don't have a lot of luxury involved. You can't just get back to it later. Like now. You know? Where I could just search any fucking foul act I want. Take as long as I need. No. Back then, I was up against the clock. I had a lot of pressure. I had a lot on my mind, as my 40-year-old high school freshman face could clearly attest, obviously. Obviously. So, I mean, I'm going to try. So go watch Some Kind of Wonderful. It's good. If you like, you know, 80s high school movies, this one probably might have slipped you by. It's John Hughes movie. You know it's good quality. You know the man makes good. The man loves his work. It's great. It's fine. You know, some of the kids look 30, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know what? I just saw this. This is really great. I'm looking forward to this. I saw that somebody did an hour and a half long review on Fallout Tactics. I'm watching that. That's cool. I remember Fallout Tactics when it came out. It was after 2 and before 3. And they did a game called Fallout Tactics, which is like, it's a Fallout game, but it's not. It's more like a battle simulator. I don't know. It uses like,
You play as like a member of the Brotherhood of Steel, and it's like a squad-based kind of game where you have like these different fights, and you have to like control everybody, and it's more like a tactical game. Obviously, it's called Tactics for God's sake. It was like that Final Fantasy Tactics game, you know? They always follow up like a popular game with something kind of weird like this, where you're like, oh, it's a Final Fantasy game. Oh, no, it's not really. And Fallout did the same thing. And Tactics, I remember watching my friend play Tactics when it came out. I was never really interested because I don't like tactical things because I'm a dum-dum, as you may have been led to believe. I'm not really good with these strategy type games, especially strategy war games. Really? Not my strong suit. Not my strong suit really at all. It's like Risk. You know, you play Risk and it sounds cool and it looks awesome. And then halfway through setting it up, you just kind of want to do something else. It's the way I've always thought about Risk anyway. And Fallout Tactics, like, I'm kind of curious as to the story. I know you're in the Brotherhood of Steel. There's like, it follows us a loosely, I mean, I don't know. I'm interested. So I'm going to watch an hour and a half review on Fallout Tactics. I'm going to listen to a bunch of people go fucking mental over the Colts loss. And not loss. Losing is one thing. Getting shut out is another thing entirely. It's worse than a loss. It's the worst thing that can happen. It would have been better if the plane crashed. Then at least we can remember them with honor. But Tactics. It's one of those games, you know, it's like, oh yeah, they did do that, didn't they? And I never really hear people talking about it. I mean, I'm sure I could find a bunch of stuff online. I just never go looking for it really. I'm going to check it out. I'm not going to play the game because it's very hard to do that. Like, I remember when PlayStation 2 came out and Silent Hill 2, I believe. Did Silent Hill 2 come with my PS2? I don't remember. But I never got into Silent Hill. And when I got my PlayStation 2, I got Silent Hill 2. And I was excited because I heard a lot of good things about Silent Hill, but I didn't know anything about it. So I remember I was like, wait a minute. Technology has my back because PS2 games are backwards compatible, which means I could play my old shitty PS1 games on my PS2 like nothing ever happened. All right, I was wild. I was over the moon. I was living in Star Trek times. And I remember I was like, well, I can't really get into Silent Hill 2 because I never played the first one. So I went out one day and I got like a used copy of Silent Hill, the first one for PS1 for like, I don't know, $20 or something ridiculous like that. And I was like, I'm going to sit and I'm going to play through Silent Hill 1 and then I'm going to play 2 and it's going to make me get it. It's going to make me care better, I guess, is what I thought. And that didn't work. I went out, I bought Silent Hill 1. I played it and I was like, this looks awful. There's no way on earth I'm going to sit here and waste my time doing this. Just to be more informed for Silent Hill 2. I don't know. I never got into Silent Hill. I'm a Resident Evil man. You know, it's one or the other. I don't know. I'm a Resident Evil man. Give me the kooky Resident Evil stuff. That's fine. I'll take that over the, you know, I don't want to be too scared. I don't want to fight fucking upside down mannequins and shit. That'll just make me nervous. I don't want to get nervous. I want to have fun. So, yes. So playing old games. What? Wait, how did we get here? What was I talking about? Old game. Right. Fallout. Right. Okay. I got you. I see the long path through the maze garden that they've decided to take us where we all froze to death, like at the end of The Shining. Yeah. So I'm not going to pop in Fallout Tactics and give it a play, even though, to be fair, I think the graphic style of like Fallout 2, I'm not going to say it holds up, but I guess I kind of mean that. I don't mean it holds up like it's graphically impressive or anything, but it's, you don't mind it, right? Like I tried this again.
I tried this a few times with PlayStation 2. I remember when Final Fantasy X came out, or Final Fantasy X, whatever. I don't know. The one with the guy who looks like Meg Ryan. And I remember I got it and I played it. And, you know, Lulu? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. So, I played Final Fantasy X, 10, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I remember how much I loved Final Fantasy VII and how into that game I was and how much fun I had with it way, way, way back when. I'm going to play Final Fantasy. I'm going to start Final Fantasy VII again. So I found my old PlayStation 1 Final Fantasy copy. I put that bitch in my PS2. I started playing it. I immediately was like, what am I doing? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sit here and look at this bullshit, this floppy fucking bullshit, and play this game. I can't do it. I can't deal with this. No. 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 But Fallout. Like Fallout 2... Tactics, that graphical style, it's not off-putting. It's like, oh, okay, it is what it is, you know. It's not, yeah. So I think the way they did it, that style of gameplay and that style of graphics, I think it ages pretty gracefully, question mark, if I remember correctly. You know, like I there have been a couple of times where I've played Fallout 2. Not like recently or anything like that, but there have been times where I've started it again and not been immediately like put off by how it looks. So I don't know. Maybe I'll watch this review and maybe that I'll at least take an interest in tactics, because it is like the forgotten kind of Fallout game. I don't really hear anybody talking about it ever. Maybe it sucked and that's why nobody talked about it. I have no idea. But yeah, so it's kind of, it's in a weird spot. It's like after 2, before 3, a Fallout game, but not. I'm sure there's some cool ideas, some new stuff. You play as a member of the Brotherhood of Steel. That's always cool. That's neat. So yeah. So there's tactics. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to do a great big bag. I'm going to find a bag of drugs. I'm just going to start eating it. And I'm going to sit and watch an hour and a half presentation, review, if you will, on Fallout Tactics. And that is not going to make me forget that the Indianapolis Colts got shut out today. These aren't good feelings. These aren't good feelings that I have inside me. You know, I have Count Dracula here who desperately wants me to touch his penis for some reason. I don't understand. I don't know where he gets this stuff from, but he thinks it's going to make me feel better, which is just weird. I got a lot to think about.